One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this NTEB House Church Sunday service. My name is Pastor Jeff Greider, and I'd like to welcome you today. We have a message that's going to tie in with the Super Bowl, and it's going to tie in with a whole lot more than that. The title of my message today is, "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." In the account of Peter and John healing the impotent man at the temple, we see a wonderful and motivating lesson for us here in the end of the church age, which hadn't yet started in Acts chapter 4. We see Peter, the short-lived leader of the soon-to-be-paused kingdom age, with John, displaying the signs of an apostle and preaching a blistering sermon that resulted in about 5,000 souls getting saved and added to the Jewish church. After accomplishing these things, they were threatened by Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas to cease and desist being a witness of Jesus Christ. Now, did they comply with that order? No. But there's something deeper here that we would do well to pay attention to. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, my text for today. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." As I read these passages, I see not only the boldness of Peter and John, but that holy boldness was the result of something a whole lot higher and a whole lot more important than the apostles. Their willingness to serve the Lord in this way showed everyone around them that they had been with Jesus, and because of that, they were no longer the same. Now, Christian, if you want the world to listen to your preaching, and if you want to see souls get saved as a result of that preaching, then it's time that you got back to spending some time with Jesus and let his light begin to shine forth from you. Peter and John were not ministering in the flesh. They were bearing fruit as a result of being with Jesus. What's missing in the ministry today? People who have been with Jesus. That's what's missing. Oh yeah, you have people preaching and working to take back America and make America great again, and let's stop abortion, and let's go out and build a massive church. But where are all the ministers of the gospel who have been imbued with heavenly power as a result of being with Jesus? That's what we need in 2023. And that's my much-needed message on this Sunday service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here today. And Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we're glad today. We're grateful today. You woke us up. I opened my eyes this morning and saw the sun beautifully shining through my bedroom window and realized you had given me yet another day of life. And Father God, you put food on our table. You put clothes on our back. You put a roof over our head and you give us work to do. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And as we meet today on one of the highest holy days of the lost world, the NFL Super Bowl, we pray, Lord, that our heart and mind will be more focused on you than ever, that our faces would be set like a flint to do the job that you have called us to do. And Lord, we just ask you to get in the middle of all this. We ask you to work and move as only you can. And Father God, we ask you to meet with us today, and we ask you to give us a fresh unction from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it, because you are worthy. And we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. I am so glad to be back for Sunday service. I'm still not 100%. I'm going to give you everything I got today for about 2 hours, but there's going to be no Bible study tonight. It has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. I'm not a fan of either team, but there's no way that I could do a Bible study tonight and a podcast tomorrow. So I'm gonna give you today, I'm gonna give you preaching, Bible teaching, encouragement, admonition, exhortation. I'm gonna give you a full plate today. And then I'm gonna rest up, and then tomorrow we're gonna hit it hard with the podcast. And the reason why I can't do the Bible study tonight, I'm still recovering from COVID. I get tired easily. I'm taking my vitamins. I'm drinking carrot juice. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But I really need to rest after this. But I'm going to give you absolutely everything that I have today. And aren't you glad to be saved today? Aren't you glad to know that your sins are forgiven, and that if the Lord would come tonight, you would go up in the rapture? That if you were to die tonight, if the Lord would take you home, you would take a breath in here, you would exhale it in glory. I'm telling you, there's no other place I'd rather be today than right here in our church, in my church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you and me. So blinded by
broken. us are perfect. We're battered, bruised, and flawed. Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love. Our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church. I am a part. Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you
Bobby, where we at? I've left word not to have an organ at my funeral.
Haven't played that version of that song in quite some time, and I think I'm remembering why I stopped playing it. But hey, I like it when people have a good time with their salvation, because you should be happy in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said to King Agrippa, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa," and so much of our happiness, it's just a little bit of a mental tweak. And as the title of that song says, just a little walk with Jesus. And well, that just makes everything right. If you're just tuning in today, the title of our message is, "And Seeing Their Boldness, They Took Knowledge of Them That They Had Been with Jesus." You know, today at the Super Bowl, you're going to have a group of people that have raised $300 million, and they're taking $20 million of that $300 million, and they're going to be playing two Super Bowl halftime commercials. I don't know if it's halftime, but two Super Bowl commercials that are costing $10 million a piece. And you know what makes me mad? What makes me mad is those commercials aren't going to have the gospel. Those commercials aren't going to have a piece of scripture. Certainly not the King James Bible, but not any Bible. And they're spending, can you imagine what we could do with $20 million? Can you imagine what we could do with $2 million in terms of handing out free Bibles and gospel tracts and ministering to people around the world? So what you have today the most watched television program of the entire year, and 100 million people will be watching this program today around the world. And they are going to present a Jesus that the Bible doesn't know anything about. They're going to present a Jesus that, well, it's the another Jesus that Paul warns about. That's the Jesus that's going to be presented today. And why? Why do you have to water down the gospel and turn Jesus into an illegal immigrant refugee? And make up all these stories that aren't even true, because the gospel is offensive to people. The gospel, if you're lost, the gospel is highly offensive, but it's supposed to be. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. It is absolute foolishness. But to those of us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. So When I was doing that article the other day about the $20 million in TV commercials to present Jesus that would be acceptable to the LGBTQ and to lost people and to the Generation Z and all those people, God just blessed to my heart Acts chapter 4, what Peter and John and the rest of the apostles were willing to do to spend time with Jesus, and the people who watched them, they knew that they had been with Jesus, and there was a reason why they knew that. And today I want to give you I just want to talk for a little bit about, as Christians, if we're going to continue to have an impact on the lost and dying world around us, we got to get back to spending time with Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can do that is you got to open up his book and you got to jump in and then close the cover behind you. You got to be submerged in that book. Very, very glad that you're here today. At the bottom of the hour, in just about 10 minutes, we're going to have our prayer time. If you have a prayer request, please post that into the chat room. If you have a praise report, please post that. And if you're one of those people who say, hey, I can't find the chat room, just go to ntebradio.com and you'll be in the chat room. ntebradio.com. This next song, I Want to Die on the Battlefield. Trisha is not with us today. She's having a Valentine's Day lunch with her son Samuel. So this song is for her and for all of you who want to get something done on the front lines of the end times.
One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled my heart with love.
Amen. Give us power to fight on the battlefield, Lord. Get something done for you. To the fight.
Well, I used to have some people who walked and talked with me. But since I've been battlefield,
Onward, Christian soldiers. If you're new here, you have reached the front lines of the end times. This is Now the End Begins Ministries. The Lord has given us an open witness in 142 different countries. Well over 100 million people have visited this website. We've handed out over 1 million gospel tracts and 116,000 King James Bibles. And if you're here, we're going to put you to work because there's lots of work to do and there's plenty to get done. The most important thing we have to do right now is go to the Lord in prayer. The need is great today. Jeanette says, my caregiver Christy talked with her two oldest boys about salvation, and both of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Aiden is 7. Alexander is 11. Please pray for them to begin their new life in the Lord. Amen. Amen. We have a massive list of lost souls. Normally, I read that list, or at least parts of it. Today, I really don't think I have the lung capacity. It's over 200 names. And so let's just pray for everybody on. And look, we've prayed for these people every single Sunday, some of them for 2 years now. And every once in a while, somebody gets saved and they go from the salvation list to the praise report list, and we love when that happens. And I'm just so glad to the Lord that that is continuing to happen. But today, let's just pray for all these lost souls as a group. The Lord knows who they are. And if you've signed up to get the notes from Jeanette, you have this list as well. So Heavenly Father, we just pray for every single one of the 200 plus people on this list of lost souls. Lord, that's the greatest work that we can do, is to put people, put bodies in the seats, or actually put souls in the seats, on flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. And God, every single name on this list is important. It's important to the people who asked for these people to be included on the list. It's important for the people on the list, even though they don't know it. And Lord, this is part of the end times work that you've given us. So we just pray, Lord, that we would continue to see names from this list going to the praise report list for salvation, and give everybody, God, everybody in the chat room, everybody who listens and doesn't chat, all the secret listeners, and there's thousands of those people. Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us a special touch today to make us better witnesses, to be more willing to hand out gospel tracts, to be more willing to witness for you in the places where you've planted us. So, Lord, we lift up the entire salvation list today, and I pray for myself that soon I'll be able to get back to reading the whole thing again. But, Lord, you know the names, and please, Lord, continue to do something. And, Lord, we just ask you to work and move as only you can with these lost souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Kevin Swift is battling a rare blood cancer called polycythemia, and he has a blood clotting issue. Harmon's son Michael is battling pancreatic cancer. Catherine B., who again is in the chat room today, she deals with kidney failure and heart stents, and so we're lifting her up for strength. But Lord, what an encouragement she is. And Katrina has breast cancer. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Annetta needs a full healing from having a stroke. Natalie's husband, Ken, he's still healing from esophageal cancer. Roz's daughter-in-law has cervical cancer. Clayton Perry is battling stage 4 colon cancer. I chatted with Dina Kruger this morning about her mom, Marcy. We've been praying for Marcy. She's had multiple rounds of chemotherapy from colon cancer and is awaiting a report back from the doctors. So we just pray for Dina's mom, Marcy, for a good report. Chelsea B. is asking prayers for little 6-year-old Camilla with a neuroblastoma. Kathy Kelly, she said her son Danny is doing much, much better. And he was sick, his wife was sick, the kids were sick. Jeanette says, Christy, my caregiver, is asking for prayer for her mom with stage 4 cancer in the pancreas, liver, and stomach. But then there's a praise report. She's gained 10 pounds. She's doing better. Pray for her salvation. Amen. Patty Rogalski says her husband, Jerry, not doing well with the cancer, feels like giving up. He's in serious pain. Hang in there, brother. We're praying for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Craig Arford, he's dealing with pancreatic cancer. Cindy Kettlecamp is asking prayers for Heidi, who was diagnosed with lymphoma. Aaron Riddle's sister, Tracy, has metastasized cancer, and we are praying for a healing for her. Sarah Shine says, please pray for possible recurrence of cancer. Also for my kids, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott, please keep us on your prayer list. Absolutely. Shara says, I survived by God's mercy, triple negative breast cancer, now facing a possible spread to my lungs. I am feeling just so beaten down. I listen almost every day, so blessed by this ministry. Hang in there, sister. You're going to get some encouragement this morning. I promise you that. Ricky Gouda's daughter, Norcha, she's still recovering from surgery. Prayers are appreciated. Dana Bragdon is doing much better with her heart condition. I'm going to take her off the list. She is doing much better. Amen. We're praying for marriages today. We're praying for Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Bianca and Derek, Morris and Sister Gift in Uganda, Jan Lacker and her husband, Cassandra and her husband, and Stacy and her husband. And in some of these cases, the husband needs to get saved. In almost every one of these cases, the marriage needs to get restored. And we are praying that God would get in the middle of all those marriages and get something done. We have a whole section of women who are expecting. The top of the list today is Reagan Gorzel. And Kyle sent me a message earlier. Praise the Lord. As of Thursday, baby Titus was no longer in a breached position. And Kyle says, we will be headed to the hospital at midnight tonight. So number one at the top of the pregnant ladies list is Reagan Gorzel. And she's expecting to be expecting around midnight tonight. And so please pray for her. Elena Blackburn, well, she's expecting and wants prayer. Her due date is July 11th. Kelsey Emerson, that's my daughter, her due date is July 22nd. I know there were more pregnant ladies there. I think they're on the other list. If Jeanette or Lori could put the other pregnant ladies onto this list, I know there's like two or three more. Sarah Riddle is expecting a baby. And there's another one, too. I can't remember. But we will put them on the list. The Lord knows. Madison's grandbaby, Addie, doing much, much, much better. God is healing her. There it is. Erin Riddle is pregnant and asking for a healthy pregnancy with a July due date. We got a lot of July due dates. Kathy Giaconimo, please pray that these family and let me just say that when I mispronounce your name, it bothers me. And sometimes my mind just, I have a Joe Biden moment, and sometimes my mind just malfunctions. And probably because I've been saying Giacomino for so long. But suffice to say, Kathy would like prayers for Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian, who are saved, but they're a little bit lukewarm. Lori Cordes is praying for Kevin, a volunteer who is wheelchair-bound, to be able to walk again. Chona's mom, Chona's family. Her mom has low potassium, her aunt has a stroke, and her father is battling an illness. Please pray for Chona's family. Penny would like prayers for healing from the beginning stages of dementia and to be a good witness. Feely would like prayers for her kids. They are saved, but lukewarm. Brooke Kettlecamp has ongoing special needs, and we're praying for her. Carrie is asking prayers for her husband, Jerry, for possible dementia. James Pickett is in need of prayer. He asked that we pray for healing from long-haul COVID, which has zapped his energy and motivation. And, you know, it's ironically funny. A couple of months ago, I had a great conversation with Brother James. He called me up, and we spoke and we prayed, and I tried to be an encouragement to him. And I imagined in my mind, man, long haul COVID, what would that be like? Well, here I am in week number 6 of recovering from COVID, and I have just a tiny taste of perhaps what he's feeling, and that's no fun at all. That's no good. So please pray that James Pickett would get his health and energy back, as well as having some financial and work-related issues resolved. Hang in there, brother. Brenda would like prayers for Paul, Daniel, and Bunny to open their eyes. And I still don't understand the rest of this prayer. Please forgive me. But please pray for Brenda, Paul, Daniel, and Bunny and their family. Amen. Charlton, praise report. He is home after 3 weeks of being away from his wife, Debbie. And we are so glad that the Lord gave him traveling mercies. And amen, brother. Virginia's mom, Beatrice, she took a fall, broke her wrist, and may need surgery. And I'd like you to pray for not only for Beatrice, but for Virginia. And she just wants to get something done for the Lord. And she works very, very hard. She's been dealing with a lot of challenges lately. So please pray for Virginia and for her mom, Beatrice, who took a bad fall. Jill Puckett needs prayer because she's losing her vision. And we pray that the Lord does something there. Unspoken prayers, Kate, regarding her housing situation, and an unspoken. The LaPiana family, they have an unspoken. Chris Hart has a time-sensitive unspoken prayer. And you can put me on that list. The Lord is dealing with me about something. I have an unspoken prayer request as well. So pray for me too. My friend Dave, I led him to the Lord back in 1995, and him and his girlfriend Jill have started volunteering in a nursing home ministry through their church. And I was talking with Dave yesterday. I've been friends with him for 42 years. He's my oldest friend, and I'm so excited for him. And I told him that the very first taste of ministry that the Lord ever gave me was back in 1992 when I volunteered to play the piano at the local nursing home through my church. And the Lord even used me in that context to lead a lost soul to him. And I'll tell you that story sometime. But please pray for my friend Dave and his girlfriend Jill in their nursing home ministry outreach, that the Lord would give them fruit and much fruit for their labors. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastor Johnry, Danny, and Arnell, Pastor Pho John in Vietnam, Pastor David Mark in India. Luann is an American missionary ministering to the Muslims in Turkey. She was not hurt in the earthquake. And we rejoice with that and keep her in your prayers as she ministers to the people who were. Stephen McCarroll from the UK Gospel Bus Ministry. Irad Bairumumishu would like prayers for his ministry, the Good Child Missions, which we support. And Xavier would like prayers as he distributes multi-language tracts to cities in Spain and to the jails, and that's a great thing. Please remember our street preachers, Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge. Up in Canada, we got Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian P. Breda, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinik. There's another Canadian in there somewhere. I know there is. Justin, who is Nightwatch Audist, and his friend Tom Fennessy. They have a street preaching ministry in Canada. Please remember Street Preacher Marie in Philadelphia. Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson in Australia. In Eagle Pass, Texas, Joseph Russiello. He's a street preacher. Mike Avram is leaving Bibles at truck stops. Mia is asking for prayers for Jay, who is a street preacher to the LGBTQ community. Stephen Wilder wanted to thank everybody for praying for his son Daniel and daughter-in-law Lizette. Lizette gave birth to baby Ezekiel, and all three are doing well. Here, this is a big one. Madison's grandbaby, Addie, has been released from the hospital. Amen. That is good, good. I thank God for hospitals, but what a great place to get out of. Jeanette from Wisconsin, prayer request, daughter-in-law's mother is in hospital, not doing good. I sent her a card at Christmas with a salvation message, which upset her. I'm hoping she will think about it before it's too late. Amen. And we're going to talk about the offensive gospel today. Berta Crabb says Willie is doing much better. His left side is healed. They're still working on his right side, going back to work soon. Amen. Eminem says, praise report. We prayed for Tim Kelly with a traumatic brain injury, and he's been totally healed. Now we're praying that he could have his tracheotomy tube taken out. Jill says, requesting prayer for my son who is in ICU again with DKA. Pray for him to call on Jesus. He needs salvation. And DKA is ketoacidosis. Cassandra says, hello, brothers and sisters. Please pray for my sons, Nathan and Andrew, to get saved. And for my husband, who is a very angry and troubled man, to get saved. Amen. Lorianne says, my dad, Roland, was cleared by the cardiologist to have knee surgery. Prayers that this upcoming surgery will go well. Amen. Regina Danner, please pray for my son, David. He has autism and has become aggressive. Also, pray for my friend, Donna, who is in the hospital. Nightwatch Autist, please pray salvation for Kyle, Melissa, and Matthew. Daniel E. says, Betsy, my wife, has knee surgery this Friday. And please pray that that would go well and the power of Christ would be upon her. And Daniel is 66 years old today. Amen, brother. Kenny says, please pray for Sprinkles. That's her chat name. Who told me that Jesus appeared to her, and that's when she truly found him. Also, please pray for McGarity and Sakiko, who are Catholic, and for Mason and Jamar, a gay couple. Mason is my sister's boyfriend's kid. Trisha says, this week, Officer Davis came into dispatch, looked at my screen, which said, be still and know that I am God, and said, hey, that's really good. Be still and know God. She said, I was floored. I was like, where is Davis and what have you done with him? But we've been praying for him for a long time. So please pray that Trisha would continue to be a gospel light where the Lord has her at the Milton Police Station, and especially for Officer Davis. Anna Galvez says, updating about my daughter-in-law, she is continuing to take her radiotherapy about her stage 3 cancer. Thank you to our NTEB family for my prayer request for asthma and scoliosis. The salvation of my family members, thank you so much to everybody. Amen. Shannon says, please pray for me and for my voice. As you can see, the prayers are working. I am coughing so much less. But please don't take me off your prayer list. I am definitely not over this yet. But Shannon says, please pray for Jeff and his voice and for the ministry, that God continues to grow the Bibles Behind Bars side of it. And I haven't been able to deal with all the requests. Well, a couple of them. But man, this week coming up is going to be a busy week. And just keep me in your prayers. Erad Bursch, please pray for my sister-in-law, Joan. She has ulcers and allergies. And please pray for the ongoing campaign as well. Paul and Peggy Caulfield up in Canada, please pray for Paul's sister, Susan, who got saved a month ago. She had some excellent opportunities to display her salvation at work. Charlton says, I have a little bit of dizziness this morning. Debbie thinks it's the hours I'm working, but I've had two bouts of vertigo in the past, and it certainly could be vertigo. But just to be on the safe side, make sure that you are drinking as much water as you can humanly hold. That's one of the first signs of dehydration. And no, coffee and Coca-Cola does not qualify as water. Jeanette says, well, I don't understand this. We have had three babies born and two babies premature. Both are well, and three are expected all in July. Amen. Okay. Natalie says she has an unspoken prayer request for herself. Amen. Teresa, please pray for my three sons, Frank, Peter, and James. Thank you. And Erad Bursch, he's raising money to purchase a vehicle for their ministry. And if the Lord puts on your heart to donate to that, I think I'm going to donate to that personally. If the Lord puts on your heart to send a little something to Erad to help him get closer to buying that car, well, praise the Lord. And he is a product of our Bible studies, and he's our first foreign missionary. And we try and be a blessing to our brother Erad Bairu Mumishu as much as we possibly can. Heavenly Father, we come before you, we thank you, we praise you. The 200 names on the salvation list, Lord, do something with that. I want to see many more move to the praise report column. So many people sick with COVID and cancer and accidents and injuries and strokes and blood clots and heart attacks and shingles and just operations, just everything, God. We ask you to work and move as only you can to get in there and do something, Lord. And God, you are the healer. And I understand that we don't live in a dispensation of signs, miracles, and wonders. But you still heal people miraculously. When you told me about the Manuka honey 2 weeks ago, to me, that was 100% a miracle. And it was a game changer for me. And it probably, it did. It prevented me from having to go to the hospital. So, Lord, for everybody on this list who needs to get saved, we pray you save them, God. For everybody on this list that needs a touch from you, like Trisha with her hips and the stem cell therapy, and just all the people with heart attacks and healings and cancer and just everything, Father God. We ask you to work and move and heal as only you can. And Lord, draw us closer to yourself and set us on holy fire for you, Lord, that we could get something done for you in these last days that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ that would last for all eternity. And Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right. If you haven't gotten the prayer list, you can email Jeanette at nowtheendbegins.com, and she'll be very happy to put you on the email prayer list. And you'll get everything we talk about, all the praise reports, all the prayer requests, we hope that you would take advantage of that. One more song. Got to catch my breath, and when we come back, today's message, I'm excited for it. And seeing their boldness, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We'll be right back after this.
Still, I As she made her way to Jesus, she stumbles through the tears that made her blind. And she felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, "I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. 'Cause you weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love. Cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spend my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder. The night.
Amen, amen. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look at my text for today. And as you're turning there, as we do every single year when we get ready for the camp meeting, now you may say to me, well, isn't the camp meeting like 3.5 months away? It absolutely is, but we got to prepare for it, got to get ready for it. And what I do every year, is I always give you guys the opportunity to register first. I'm going to be publishing the article tomorrow and giving people the ability to sign up for the camp meeting. But like we've done in years past, I'm going to post the link into the chat room right now. You can register for the camp meeting. And we're so excited about that. We've made some changes. There will be no cost to attend the event this year. We've cut out a lot of the fancy extras like the beautifully designed t-shirts and things of that nature. We're still going to have the barbecue. And this year we have, I'm going to be preaching, Pastor Joel Tillis from Suncoast Baptist. He's going to be preaching. My good friend, Pastor Dave Struble from Solid Rock Baptist Church in New Jersey, he's going to be preaching. And evangelist and end times author Dr. Bill Grady, he's going to be preaching as well. And it's just going to be a really, really good time in the Lord. It's going to be a great 3-day celebration. And we got people coming from all over the country, but you can register right now for the 2023 NTEB camp meeting. There is no charge. There is no charge for the camp meeting, but you have to register because we have to know how much food to bring. This link is only available in the chat room. Tomorrow, it will be available on the website. But I like to give you guys the first crack at it. So we hope that you are planning to come and fellowship with us on the front lines of the end times for our camp meeting weekend. And we're excited by that. All right. All right. It's time for preaching. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. As I said earlier, today is the Super Bowl, and they're going to have those commercials that cost $10 million apiece. What a massive waste of money. Two Super Bowl commercials that cost $10 million apiece, and no gospel, no scripture, and they're going to present a Jesus Christ that the Bible knows nothing about. Unless you go to Galatians, the Jesus that they're going to be presenting to the Super Bowl audience is what Paul would call another Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, this is not my text for today, but Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And then Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So the Apostle Paul warns about another gospel. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:4, he warns about another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, and I just gave that to you, or another gospel which ye have not accepted. Paul says, ye might bear well with him. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the end times apostasy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 calls it the falling away. And we see what the falling away looks like in Revelation chapter 3 with the lukewarm Laodicean church. So I started to think about these things after I did that article the other day. I started to meditate on them. And in my morning Bible study, God brought me just randomly, or so I thought, he brought me to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be spending the bulk of our time today in Acts chapter 4. And let's go to my text for today, ask for the Lord's blessing, and we're going to jump right into it. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you. Lord, we believe your word, we receive it with gladness, let it burrow deep down into the reaches of our souls, and change us, Lord. Lord, we confess that we stink as people. We're just saved sinners that you pulled up out of the mud, but you loved us so much that you shed your precious blood to save us and redeem us. So, Lord, use us. Help us to get something done for you, Lord. It's not about us, it's about you. And Lord, today, we want you to meet with us today and orchestrate things. Lead us and guide us according to your revealed word. Give us power from on high. And Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. Lord, in and of ourselves, we're nothing. But in you, we're everything, because you are everything. And bless the preaching and teaching of your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to is in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about Peter and John being unlearned and ignorant. Now, why would Dr. Luke use words that are really kind of harsh like that? Unlearned and ignorant men. Well, the modern versions, they clean it up a little bit, because that's not palatable to today's Laodicean Christians. You know what the same passage says in the ESV Bible? Acts 4:13 in the ESV Bible. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. Now, is that what the King James Bible says? No. The King James Bible says that they were ignorant men. They were unlearned. D.L. Moody, the greatest evangelist since the apostles, D.L. Moody preached to 100 million people with no microphone, no video cameras, and over 1 million people got saved. D.L. Moody was an unlearned and ignorant man with a fourth grade education. When he preached, people would, in his early days, would come up to him and make fun of him for his use of the English language and how he would mangle words and pronounce things. And one day a man comes up to D.L. Moody and he says, "Mr. Moody, it's an absolute shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ the way that you speak." And Moody thought about that for a second, and he looked at the man with a smile, and he said, "Brother, I agree with you. You're absolutely right. But I've given the Lord 100% of my mouth. Have you?" That man had nothing to say. He turned beet red. He looked away, and he walked off. The Bible says that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, keep your finger in Acts chapter 4 and turn to John chapter 21. In Acts chapter 4, Luke says, "They marveled when they saw Peter and John, and they took knowledge of them." The ESV says, "Then they recognized," not the same thing. And Luke says, "And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." Now, I want to take you back to the very start of Peter's ministry. I want you to think about if God has called you to the ministry. Many of you here are already in ministry on some level in some capacity. I want you to see how Peter got into the ministry. And it happens here in John chapter 21. And let's take a look at verses 15 through 17. We all remember that Peter betrayed the Lord, and he warmed himself by the enemy's fire when Jesus was arrested. And that lady said to him, "Aren't you one of his followers? Aren't you a Galilean?" And the Bible says that Peter swore and he cursed, and he said, "I know not the man." And he denied him three times, and then the cock crew. Well, John 21, verses 15 through 17, this is the Apostle Peter. He denied him publicly. Now he has to be restored publicly. John 21, 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Verse 16 says, "He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Verse 17 says, everything comes to a head here. "He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He denied him three times. He has to answer this question publicly three times. The Bible says that Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And here we have the commissioning of the Apostle Peter to the ministry. Very shortly, Peter is going to be that fiery preacher on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people are going to get saved. Jesus has just commissioned Peter in verses 15 through 17 to the ministry. But I said all that to say this. This is what I really want to draw your attention to. John 21, 18 and 19. After Jesus had restored Peter, brought him back into the fold, and commissioned him to feed his sheep, Jesus then prophesied over Peter. Now you're thinking, wow, this is great. I was just commissioned to the ministry by Jesus Christ, and now the Lord is going to lay hands on me. He's going to prophesy. He's going to speak a word over me. This is going to be great. John 21:18, Jesus is talking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, I want you to understand about my text today, Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In order for you to understand this message today, you have to understand how Peter got into the ministry in the first place. He had been with Jesus. He had spent time with Jesus. He had good times. He had bad times. He had times of being backslidden. He had times of restoration. He had just about every type of time that you could possibly think of during the 3.5 years that he walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in much the same way, take a look at your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are newly saved. Some of you have been saved for a while. Some of you are old timers like me, and you've been saved for more than 3 decades. And if you're honest with yourself, you look back over your walk with the Lord and you see times where you were knocking it out of the park. You're handing out gospel tracts and people are getting saved, and there's just nothing better. And then you see other times where words come out of your mouth that never should have come out. You're backslidden. Maybe you're spending time at the bar. Maybe you're spending time at happy hour. Maybe you pick back up the drugs or the cigarettes, whatever it happens to be for you. Maybe you go through a divorce, whatever the case may be. But what I'm trying to get your attention with is all of that represents time that you're spending with the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you got saved, you were placed into his body. So if you go to the bar, you're taking the Lord Jesus Christ with you. If you're going to the gambling house, you're taking the Lord with you. When you got saved, unlike Peter, you were placed into his body. Now, when Peter was commissioned back in John chapter 21, Jesus restored him. And then he said to him, Peter, as you begin to do this ministry that I've called you to do, the day is going to come when they're going to come for you. The day is going to come, just like with my cousin John the Baptist, where you're going to preach and you're going to teach and you're going to be on the front lines, and I'm going to tell you how you're going to give glory to God. It's going to cost you your life. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verses 10 through 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. Wherefore, the rather, and brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he's talking about his body, to stir you up. Man, people got to be stirred up today. What we need is some preachers to go across this land, to go across this country, not to save America, not to make America great again, but to preach and teach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and see souls get saved, to get out into the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in that his house may be full. That's what we need in 2023 in America. We don't need people who want to save America. What a useless waste of time that is. Every single day, over 151,000 lost souls leave this world and go to their eternal destiny. The majority of those people close their eyes on earth and open them up in a fiery, flame-filled place of torment that the Bible calls hell. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." So when you're in John 21 and you read verses 18 and 19, and you read these unbelievable things that are taking place, hold on just a second. Mia from Texas says, "Aunt Maggie is listening right now. Could I please tell Aunt Maggie how to be saved?" Well, I can tell Aunt Maggie how to be saved right now. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Turn to Romans chapter 10. You know what? If you're not saved, let me tell you what your problem is. It's not that you're a bad person. It's that you're a lost person. The Bible says, Jesus says in John chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Religion's not going to do it for you. The sacraments won't do it for you. Church attendance doesn't do it for you. There's only one thing that can do it for you. Aunt Maggie, if you're listening, listen to me. 32 years ago, you know what I was? I was a rising Hollywood actor. I was on television 5 nights a week. I was in movies and off-Broadway plays. I had the world by the tail. But you know what I didn't have? I didn't have Jesus Christ. And God worked out my life in such a way that I came face to face with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I opened up my Bible to John 3:16, and you know what I read, Aunt Maggie? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Aunt Maggie, you know what you don't have that you need to have? You need everlasting life. And the reason why you need that is because you and Mia and me and everybody listening right now, the Bible says that Adam conceived a son after his image and his likeness. We were born in the image of Adam. And the only way that you can go to heaven is you have to have a new image. You have to have a new birth. You have to become born again. And you know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10? And I'm going to read you verses 9 through 13. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth," Maggie, "the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." We're all equal. We're all equally lost. "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And Maggie, I want this verse to sink down into your soul. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now let me just, in 60 seconds, let me tell you what salvation is. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Salvation is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. Salvation is a transaction that you make with Jesus Christ. I've been reading you verses showing you that when Jesus went to the cross, he made a payment for you, Maggie. He made a payment for you, just like he made a payment for me. And 32 years ago, I got down on my knees in my bedroom at midnight, March 14th, 1991, and that scripture convicted me so badly that I needed my sins to be paid for. And on that night, I made that transaction. I said, "God, take my sin and give me your righteousness." You know what the Bible says, Maggie? The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you can understand that your sins have separated you from a holy God, but that same holy God came down 2,000 years ago and got on a cross and shed his own blood to pay for your sin. If you can receive that, Maggie, that's what salvation is. Has nothing to do with the church, any denomination. Has nothing to do with sacraments or the Eucharist. Has nothing to do with good works or good deeds. Has nothing to do with anything other than we have a sin debt. Jesus paid it, and you need to receive that payment. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, we pray for Maggie right here and right now as a church family, live on the air, thousands of people listening all over the world. Lord, convict Maggie of her lost condition. Show her, Lord, that payment. I just gave her the scriptures, but Holy Spirit, you have to bless it to her. You have to bless it to her, Lord. And God, we just pray as a church family that you would save her, that you would save her in Jesus' name. Amen. Maggie, one more thing that I want to tell you. When I got saved, it was the day before my 30th birthday. And in a couple of months, I'm going to be 62. And I had spent my whole life as a Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. I went to private Catholic school. I did everything that they told me to do. But you know what they never told me? They never told me how to get saved. They never told me about my sin debt. And when I read John 3:16, I asked the Lord to save me. And it doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. Those are all man-made denominations. Salvation has nothing to do with a church. Salvation is having your sin debt paid in full by the person that you're going to answer to when you die. And I would do anything, Maggie. I stopped this whole program just to give you the gospel. And there's tears in my eyes right now. And many, many, many people are praying for you right now. And if you'll ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul based on Romans and based on John 3 and based on Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's what salvation is. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Maggie, if you want eternal life, it's in front of you right now. Right now. All you have to do is put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Give him your sins, whatever they may be, large or small, and he'll give you his righteousness. He's already made your payment. But when you accept him as Savior, that payment gets applied to your account. Many, many, many people praying for you right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. And Father God, we lift up Aunt Maggie to you, and we ask you to do something with her, Lord. She's seeking, she's looking. And Father God, convict her of her lost condition and lead her safely home in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, that is a perfect illustration. And no, I'm not done with my message, but I'm so glad that God allowed that moment, because you know what? There's nothing more important than giving the gospel to people. There is nothing more important than telling a lost and dying world about salvation in Jesus Christ. And you know what? The Apostle Peter and the Apostle John, the Bible says that these were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled at these men and they took knowledge of them because these men had been with Jesus. And everywhere that I look across the landscape today, oh, I see multi-million dollar ministries. I see huge mega churches. I see chrome and glass headquarters. I see $65 million corporate private jets. I see pastors living in 24,000 square foot mansions. But what I don't see and what I don't hear is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. In just a couple of hours, they're going to play those $10 million Super Bowl commercials, and nobody's going to get the gospel. Nobody's going to be convicted of their sin, and nobody's going to be told about the way out. You cannot water down the gospel. It's supposed to offend people. When I first heard the gospel, it hurt me to hear it, because it made me come face to face with my lost condition. It made me realize that one of the reasons why Jesus went to the cross was because of my filthy, dirty sin. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me and when I got saved. And when I realized the true cost of salvation, it is free to me, but it cost God everything. The only way that lost people could be redeemed is God himself had to take on a human body, Jesus Christ, come down and live as a perfect man, and then take the sin of the whole world upon himself, and then to make that payment. We talked about that on the Bible study last week. What this world needs is old-fashioned King James Bible preaching. People don't need to feel better about themselves. People don't need to have their feelings attended to or their emotions tickled. We need to have less preachers who have these slick sermon outlines, 3 points in a poem, and all these words that start with the same letter, and all these tricks that so many pastors and preachers will use to play on your feelings. We don't need any of that junk. And that's exactly what it is. It's garbage. We need men who have been with Jesus. Now, in Acts chapter 4, Peter preached, and 5,000 people got saved. Can you imagine preaching and seeing 5,000 people get saved? What a blessing that would be. Now, How did the high priests and the people who ruled the temple? Look at verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You know, these Super Bowl commercials, they have stripped all the power away. They have removed the gospel. They have turned Jesus and Joseph and Mary into illegal immigrants. And why would they do that? Because they're trying to make Jesus palatable to lost people. Because Jesus is not palatable to lost people. He died to save your soul. But the reason why he had to do that, because you're a filthy sinner. And the day that I realized that about myself, again, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. The day that I realized that about myself, it brought me to my knees. And I said, Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. Save me, Father God. You know what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 17. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, who is Paul talking to? He's talking to me. He's talking to my mother, your mother, Aunt Maggie. He's talking to everybody in the chat room. Dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And then Paul says in verse 19, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. And look down in verse 24. And Aunt Maggie, I want you to listen to this verse. Romans 7:24. This is the Apostle Paul talking. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, that's a really good question. A lot of people don't even think about answering that question until they're well up in years or they're on their deathbed or some huge tragedy has happened. But Paul wants us to think about it now. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, here's the answer. Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're lost today, you can get saved in the blink of an eye. It is the work of a moment, because the work has already been done on the cross. All you have to do is accept that payment, believe the gospel, receive the gospel. And the Bible says that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And if you'll give me just a few more minutes, that's my introduction. I'd like to give you today's message. The Bible says that they marveled and they took knowledge of Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. You know, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 13, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, back in John 21. And then he says, Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now look at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, those TV commercials that are playing at the Super Bowl later. Those commercials are cunningly devised fables. It is not true. It is not real. It does not represent the gospel. It does not show you the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And Peter said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know what we need? We need men and women who are willing to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. Do you want to increase your ministry? Then you better decrease yourself. You better throw yourself at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your inability to get anything done for him and ask him to work and move through you, to give you a fresh unction from the Holy Spirit, to give you a fresh recharge. The Bible says in Revelation, ye have left your first love. And we live in a world, we talk about this on the podcast all the time. We live last Friday. Here's a funny story. Last Friday, we did an episode talking about the coming kingdom of Antichrist. And that was something that God had put on my heart. That was something that I had been praying about, and God was dealing with me about that all weekend long. And God said, look, I want you to go and do a message on the coming kingdom of Antichrist. And we ripped it up for 2 hours last week, last Friday, and it was a hard podcast. I had to give multiple graphical warnings, and I've had a lot of really, really good feedback from that program. But the strangest feedback that I got from that program is people began messaging me, did you know that that was episode number 666? And I said, what? I look at the number of people who listen. I almost never look at the episode number itself. And on Friday, I had set up a podcast to expose the coming kingdom of Antichrist. And I never knew until the broadcast was over that that was episode 666. Now, you think God's fooling around? You think you have all this time left? You think you can just live your life like everything was normal? Well, I'm here to tell you that you cannot. I am here to tell you that time is almost up. I am here to tell you that we are at the very end of the very end of the church age. If we had a countdown clock, it would be approximately 2.5 seconds to the rapture. Christian, let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for? Do the people in your life look at you and marvel? Do they see that you have been with Jesus? Somebody asked me the other day, how do I spend time with Jesus? In prayer? Well, prayer is obviously a good thing. A wise preacher once said that we don't have to sit and pray for 3 hours at a time, but we should never let 3 hours go past without praying. You might want to write that one down. That's pretty good. We don't have to pray for 3 hours at a time, but we should never let 3 hours go by without praying. And when I found out that Friday's episode on the coming kingdom of Antichrist was episode number 666, I'm telling you, That sent a chill down my spine. And I got on the phone with my buddy Craig, and we talked about end times things. I love my friend Craig and bouncing ideas off of him. And, you know, the Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. And we had a really good conversation about the things of the Lord. And we both came across with the same conclusion. Time is so very short. We got to get something done for the Lord, and we got to get it done now. And the only way you're going to get some, I'm not talking about building a work in the flesh. I'm not talking about saving America. Honestly, I don't care about saving America. I really don't. I care about seeing lost souls get saved and saved souls get on fire for God. I appreciate when America is doing well, and that gives us the resources and the ability that we need to operate this ministry. But honestly, I'm not putting 1 ounce of energy into making America great again. I'm putting every ounce of energy that I have into seeing lost souls get saved. When Mia said that my Aunt Maggie is sitting here, could you say something about getting saved before the program is over? No, we're not going to wait that long. We're going to do it right now. And that's exactly what we did. We stopped the whole program so I could tell Aunt Maggie how to get saved. And I'll be very happy to get on the phone with Aunt Maggie if she has any questions and talk with her a while about Jesus Christ. But the point of what I'm telling you is, if God gives you something to do, you got to do it now. Peter and John and the rest of the apostles, they were able to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ because they had been with Jesus. They had gotten their commission. They had gotten the power that they need. Now, they had to get that power on the day of Pentecost. But you and I don't need a Pentecost moment. The moment that you got saved, the Apostle Paul says that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And Ephesians chapter 1, 12 through 14 shows you what happens when a soul gets saved. You don't need tongues of fire on top of your head, or angel dust, or gold teeth, or angel's feathers falling from the sky, or the rest of that fake and phony garbage of the Word of Faith movement. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you. Inside you. That's the power. You don't need to go anywhere. You need to get back. You need to get back to your first love. You need to get back to trusting the Holy Spirit. You need to get back to throwing yourself at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, "Here am I. Send me." That's what we need in America today. We need people who are willing to take the offensive gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring it to a lost and dying world, and to risk them being offended, just like I was offended momentarily 32 years ago. We need to offend people, not with our own prejudices and thoughts and foul language, but we need to offend people with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, give them the opportunity to be convicted by the scripture. You know, the Bible says this about itself in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You don't need to make some stupid slick, Laodicean TV commercials with emotionally tugging on your heartstrings music. You don't need to be an apologist. Do you realize that? You don't need to defend the Bible. You need to open it up and let it out. You don't need to do anything else than preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God, memorize scripture, and let God break your heart for lost people, and go out there with compassion, with empathy. Do you remember what it was like when you were lost? Don't use the gospel as a sledgehammer. Don't use the gospel as a means to break other people down. The Bible says that the gospel is a two-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. And it's supposed to. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to take away from it. You don't need to defend it. You don't need to apologize for it. You don't need to water it down. You just simply need to trust the book that God wrote to give that scripture to a lost and dying world. And the Bible says that God will do it. He'll do it all. You just have to be a faithful witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and John were witnesses. They were brave. You get one chapter later to Acts chapter 5, and they're called back in front of the same council. Did they stop preaching and teaching? No. Did they stop offending people with the gospel? No. What did they do? They continued to do what God called them to do. And let me end this sermon right here in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. Acts chapter 5, 40 through 42. This is Peter and John. This is the same context. 5,000 people had gotten saved. The religious leaders of the temple had threatened them in Acts chapter 4. They did not heed that warning. And this is what happens in Acts chapter 5. Verse 40 says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." If you want God to bless your ministry, you got to preach and teach Jesus Christ. You can't dumb it down. You can't make it palatable to lost people. You can't take your scissors and start cutting up Leviticus and Romans and 1 Corinthians because gay people might be offended. You can't go to places like Proverbs 20 verse 1 and cut that out because an alcoholic might be offended. You can't chop up the Bible. You got to not cease to preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said about that book, "Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come." If you want to get something done for the Lord, you got to trust that book. You got to open up that book and you got to let those words out. And you got to let them out at full strength, at full force. The only way you can do that is with the King James Bible. And that's what America needs. That's what Europe needs. That's what Asia, Africa, North America, South America. That's what every part of this world needs. Is that Bible The word of a king. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. You want power? You need that King James Bible. And with that, we've come to the end of our message and our Sunday service for today. Please keep Aunt Maggie in your prayers. I'm thinking she's going to get saved today. But we don't want some forced decision. If she's not convicted of her sin, if she's not convicted of the fact that the Bible says that if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not born again, the Bible says you're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. I got convicted of that fact 32 years ago and I got saved. But I'm praying and I'm hoping that Aunt Maggie's going to get saved today. So please keep Aunt Maggie in your prayers. And I am hoping that very soon when we hear from Mia, it's going to be a praise report. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, you have so expanded our borders and enlarged our coasts. And I just pray that you use each and every one of us, Father God, to get something done for you in these end times, to lay down our personal hopes and dreams and desires, and to be more concerned about your will for us as your body in these last days. It's not about us, God. It's not about you giving us what we want. It's about us being faithful to serve you and to get something done for you that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. And we just pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for being part of this Sunday service today. There will be no Bible study tonight because even now I can feel my voice starting to shred. But Lord willing, there is going to be a Prophecy News podcast tomorrow. There's so many wacky things happening right now. I normally play a song at the end of the Sunday service, but if Aunt Maggie is still listening, I want to play this clip about heaven and hell. It's only 5 minutes long, and if you're still listening, Aunt Maggie, if you're still listening, please listen to every minute of this clip. It will help you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here at noon Eastern time tomorrow for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. I believe that. I believe the word of God is true from the beginning. Genesis 1.
Now I've got thinking to myself, I wonder what if a fella got down hell and he could write back about it. I wonder what he'd say. I wonder what he'd say.
So, did you guys go see Santa tonight?
Yep.
Yeah? What did you ask Santa for?
The Easter Bunny.
Are we there yet?
No, not quite yet. It's going to be a little bit longer.
Does your preacher preach two messages on hell every year? If he doesn't, he's not following the example of Jesus Christ.
I want you in heaven. I want you in New Jerusalem. Don't want you in the lake of fire.
The God of that Bible's holy. He'll let you go to hell. You want to go? You can go. Don't go. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Don't go.
The way to know is to trust Christ your Savior, believe on Him as your Savior, and trust what He did dying on Calvary's cross to take away your sins. If you don't believe that, why don't you try it? If you don't have assurance of eternal life, why don't you try that instead of what you're trying? Some of you folks I've talked to have been trying other things for years, haven't you? And you still don't know. You can know now. You say, well, I got to be Ruckman. You've got to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior.
When you get saved, it's not just getting something for nothing. It's getting everything for nothing. See, that's what the thing is.
Whatever you do, don't go to hell. You folks here with gray hair and white hair, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever it's going to be, there's one thing I'm going to ask you. Don't go to hell. You'll get in there, you'll never get out. Hell is no joke. God doesn't want you there. Christ doesn't want you there. The people in hell don't want you there. The people that love you don't want you there. The question comes up, who is it that wants you in hell?
I'll make it just simple as I can. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. You want to go to hell? Trust something else. That's all there is to it. It's so simple. Men make it so hard. Preachers make it so difficult. I don't know why. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Can I get any more plain with you? You want to go to hell? Trust something else.
Hi, Dad. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve, like that. Way down there at the edge of that street, there's the Lord up there in glory. And down he comes off that throne. He always would come down for a sinner. And he comes down there, well done, thou good and faithful servant in the joy of our Lord.
In sin I was living. No thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
to hell, because I met the Savior. What a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell, because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved and I'm not going to hell.